Thank you for downloading from Richmond First United Methodist. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org.
See, our scripture reading is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 18. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. The beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. And 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. The horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all of this. So he told me, and he gave me the interpretation of these things. The 4 great beasts are 4 kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Shannon, it's not a great time. What do you want?
Hello to you too. But I'm sorry, but this is important.
What is it?
Back to the Future 2 was in the Back to the Future 3 case. And Back to the Future 3 was, get this, in the Back to the Future 2 case.
So,
did you do that? Or am I in the house with an intruder?
I gotta go inside. It's getting rough out here.
You're dodging the question. I knew it was you. What was that?
What was what?
This isn't a very good connection, but it sounded like someone just released a kraken.
Okay, I'm hanging up now. You know there's no such thing as a kraken.
Well, I was worried that you might be missing Leonard. And that might be causing you to have bad dreams. You know, like the kind you'd get if you watched Clash of the Titans right before you went to bed.
Sweetie, did you have a bad dream?
To be honest, I did. Back to the Future 2 was in the Back to the Future 3 case. Leonard did it.
Good night.
You wouldn't know, wait. Perhaps I should sleep here, so you don't miss Leonard as much. Because you're being kind of a baby about it.
You know what? That would make me feel better. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night.
So some of you ask who picks out the video clips. Just a clue going forward, if it's from The Office, Jonathan found it. If it's from Big Bang Theory, it was probably mine. How many of you have ever had a nightmare that woke you up like that? Isn't that, it's awful, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't take much to spur it, and then you're suddenly awake. And I don't know that I've ever sat up and gasped. That's what they always do in TV and the movies, is they sit up and gasp. But I know that I have sprung awake, and suddenly all the adrenaline is pumping. The heartbeat is going 1,000 beats a minute, and you're absolutely terrified. And half the time, I can't even remember what I was dreaming about, right? You just know it must have been awful. I used to have a recurring nightmare. And this is probably not one any of the rest of you have had. It's kind of a preacher thing, because in the nightmare, I would get to the end of the sermon on Communion Sunday, and I would turn around to serve communion, and none of this stuff was here. The altar was empty, and then I was there with a whole church full of people to serve communion to and had no elements. And I had that nightmare, every month or a couple of months for years, until one morning it actually happened. And then I guess once you've experienced your worst dreams, there's nothing left. Those nightmares that you wake up from in a cold sweat are actually the more fortunate kind, because there are other kinds of nightmares that you can't wake up from. I had a late night call one night when I was on-call chaplain at the hospital, and they didn't tell me much on the phone, just told me where that I need to show up down in the labor and delivery area. I got there and discovered a young man who's the father of a baby that they were in the process of trying to deliver. There had been a car accident. His wife was badly injured. They didn't know if she was going to make it. They didn't know if the baby was going to make it. A few minutes later, while I was sitting there with them, he was alone except for me, didn't know who else to call. The doctors and nurses came in to inform him that his wife had passed away, but they were hoping to be able to save the baby. And all through that evening that I sat with him, he just kept saying over and over again, "This is a nightmare, this is a nightmare. When am I going to wake up?" Now, Daniel's nightmare was more one of those. I mean, he has the night vision, but it's a manifestation of a reality in his life, of something that's really going on. It's a manifestation of the nightmare that he is living through in his own life, in his own time. Daniel's dream and nightmare is spurred on by the reality that he is living in a foreign land, that he has been whisked away from Jerusalem along with some of the other brighter and more promising young Jewish folks by by King Xerxes. And there he is in this foreign land, not allowed to worship his God. This is, you know, in the wake of stories about people being placed in lions' dens and so on. He's having this terrible dream that he can't wake up from, that the world has gone, you know where, in a handbasket. That God's people are now powerless, and that the nations around them are wreaking havoc. I don't know about you, when you heard this text read, you know, I kind of flashed back. If you've ever done Bible studies on the book of Daniel or on Revelation, the early part of Revelation, which mirrors Daniel, maybe you know that these four beasts are supposed to be kingdoms, and maybe you've read enough different commentators and teachers to know that nobody understands exactly who these four nations are supposed to be. I mean, every commentator's got a different theory about the, you know, the Babylonians and the Persians and the Assyrians and the Syrians and the Romans, and it could be any number of those or others that have been named in different commentaries. But what's most important, I think, for us to grasp the point of this passage is not exactly who these nations were, but how they were portrayed in the dream, the qualities that they have in Daniel's vision, and they're frightening qualities. I mean, they're all bestial, right? They're all monstrous. They're all something right out of a nightmare. They're all predators. There are no vegetarians on this list. They are all meat eaters, every one of them. And they are all the ones that stalk and take down their prey by force. And among the other qualities that we see displayed here are cunning. An animal appetite to devour. Cruelty. And of course, power. Always power. Always this mighty, supernatural sort of strength. We have a lion, we have a leopard, and there at the end we've got a monster that they don't even give a name. It's just got all these fangs and horns. And this is all kind of the acting out in Daniel's imagination of the world that he's discovered that he lives in. That it is the powerful, it's the fang and the claw that governs. It's not God's people who are calling the shots, but it's some other mighty worldly power. Some broken, monstrous thing that has come to be in charge. And one of the most frightening, in my mind's eye, one of the most frightening attributes of these creatures is that several of them have vestiges of humanity in them. Well, yes, it's a lion, but it stands on two legs and acts like maybe it used to be human. Yes, it's a monster with iron fangs, but if you look in its eyes, you can almost tell it used to be one of us. They're almost human, and one senses that it's a sort of transformation that could happen to one of us. It's this reminder Daniel has in visionary form that humanity itself has become something other than what it was supposed to be. We're broken, we're fallen, and because of that, the world that we live in is broken and fallen, and it's frightening, it's terrifying, it's dark out there. It's a nightmare, and when you open your eyes, it's still there. But Daniel's nightmare is not the end of his dreaming. It's just the beginning. Because as he sits, reeling from the, I love the language that the Bible uses to talk about our emotions in times like this. You know, I would come up with better words than this, but the Bible says he was disturbed by the vision. Let me translate that Hebrew word for you. He was not disturbed. He was scared out of his pants. He was sitting up. His heart was beating a mile a minute. He didn't even remember all the details of what he had seen. He just knew it was awful. And in that moment, another vision comes. And a throne is set up in the great throne room. And the Ancient of Days comes and is seated on that throne and is surrounded by all of his courtiers, and the books are opened. Now, the books of the ancient kings were the books of the things they had done and the books of the things that they had pronounced would be henceforth and forevermore. That's what the books were for. So this king's books are open. And the vision turns towards a cleansing fire that spills out from the throne. The vision shifts towards the fall of the kingdoms, the broken kingdoms of this world. The vision shifts to one like a son of man. Not something that used to be human that's now a monster, but something that used to be God and is now a human being. The vision shifts. Because the nightmare here is not the end of Daniel's dreaming. When our oldest boys were really little, we had a Friday evening sort of ritual. There was a series of TV shows on Friday night that was called TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. And it was, the one with Steve Urkel was part of it. Family Matters, thank you. I lost that for a minute. And I remember there were several, one of which was Full House, was in the mix the first time around before everybody got old and silly looking. But every now and then, all of those good family, happy, comedic shows, every now and then one of them would decide to have a two-part episode. And we would come to the end of the first part, and it would say across the bottom of the screen in words that only the grown-ups in the room could read, "to be continued." And I remember how disturbed my oldest son was in that moment when he realized that the show was over, but the plot had not resolved. That this problem, whatever the problem of the day was, had not been fixed. He knew that's not how the episode was supposed to end. And he was disturbed. It's, "Daddy, Daddy, what happened to the ending? Where's the ending?" And I remember explaining to him, "It's okay. It's okay. We'll see it next week." He said, "Oh, okay." And he came to trust across the months and years that next week it would all be okay. Because the nightmare is not the end of Daniel's dreaming. That nightmare that described his world so perfectly, and if you want to stop and think about it and don't have to stretch too hard, really kind of describes the one we're living into, is not the end of the dreaming. There is a light in the window, an invitation forward to another place, a vision of a king who would come and reign forever and ever, a king who would reign in righteousness and peace. The nightmare is not the end of Daniel's dreaming. Some years ago, maybe some of you remember this, if you wanted to watch the UK basketball games, the ones that were not prime time on Saturday afternoon, you had to stay up till midnight, right? Because they wouldn't take away from prime time program. This was before there were a jillion sports channels. This is back when we had whatever you could get over the airwaves. Kids, ask your grandparents, okay? This was back when you had your three or your four channels. And so if the Cats hadn't scored a big enough one to be in prime time on Saturday, then you had to wait until all the programming was done for the day. And after the 11 o'clock news, then Kaywood Ledford would come on and you would see the Cats play on TV. Now, usually, I didn't stay up to midnight to watch the games. Usually, I listened to the games on the radio in real time, like you're supposed to do, right? And so I remember one day I was driving back from someplace. I had the ball game on the radio. I remember it was the Winston Bennett, Kenny Skywalker era. I remember that. I think maybe our opponent was Auburn. I'm not exactly sure. What I do remember is that with about 9 or 10 seconds left in the ball game, the Cats were 6 points behind. And being the big league Cat fan that I am, you know, I wanted to pound the dashboard. What I wanted to do was not hear it. But also, being the big time Cats fan that I am, I knew I was morally obligated to stick with them to the very end, however it turned out. And so I left it on, and dang if they didn't score 6 points in the last 10 seconds of the game and turn around and win that thing. So I came home. I made it through my chores for the evening. We had supper and stuff. And I told Kim, I'm staying up tonight to watch the ball game. 11 o'clock it came on. And so it was going till, you know, well after midnight. And there I was in the chair, 10 seconds left to go in the ball game. We're behind by 6, and I am gripping the arms of my chair, gritting my teeth. I want to jump up and pound on the TV set, or maybe even turn it off, even though I already knew the end. I already knew who was going to win. Already knew that good prevailed and Auburn fell. Already knew that there was light in the window, because the nightmare is not the end of the dreaming. There is a reality that is still out there for us, a vision that Daniel has of a king who will reign for all eternity, and get this, of thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s surrounding his throne in that great age to come. And we've named a few of them today. And God willing, I'll finish my race in such a way as to be named among them too. And I pray, the Lord of grace and glory, that I'll see you all again there when that day finally comes. There's a light in the window, because the nightmare is not the end of the dreaming. However hideous and monstrous the world looks, however much it feels that what used to be human has become altogether something else, and that we are being swept along by history over which we have no control, the nightmare is not the end of the dreaming. There is a vision of a kingdom that is not of this world, but is the kingdom of our Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And all God's people said.
To hear more sermons, find out more about us, and see what's going on in our community, visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org. This has been Richmond First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.